If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, as we continue in our series, Christmas Presents. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, and I'll read verse 26 along with it for the context. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. I just thank you, Lord, for Christmas. I just thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord, that you are not only with us at Christmas time, you are also in us. And I pray you would just teach us what that means, Christ in us at Christmas time, not only for Christmas, but also especially in these last days. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last November the 25th, a woman in Waycross, Georgia, took a video of a husband and a wife on her block putting out Christmas decorations. And the wife wanted the husband to put out a big old 14-foot inflatable Santa on their front yard. So after the guy worked like a coal mine mule to haul the thing out there and get it all set up, the wife came out and decided she was going to supervise. And after she pointed out that he put that Santa right behind a tree that was blocking the view, this happened. Holy peace on earth, goodwill to men, people. Somebody's getting some anger management classes for Christmas. Right now, we are so stressed, we are so freaked out. The most important thing for Christmas, you don't need Santa Claus in your yard, you need Jesus in your heart. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called Christmas Presents, looking at how the presence of God is all over us at Christmas time. Last week, we saw how God is with us at Christmas time in Jesus Christ. And today, we look at the fact that God is in us at Christmas time in Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. In this part of Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And in our text today, he tells us that in Christ, God is not only with us, he is also in us. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, you really want the presence of God in you at Christmas time, you need Jesus in you too. Our text this morning, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, tells us three reasons why we need Jesus in us at Christmas time. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why we need Jesus in us at Christmas time is for salvation. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 27. Now, Paul is talking about a mystery. And there's all kinds of mysteries out there about Christmas. In the cartoon Frosty the Snowman, why did those school kids have to go to class on Christmas Eve? In the movie Home Alone, before the internet ever came along, how was Kevin able to order a pizza when all the phone lines were down? Only female reindeer have antlers in December. And I wouldn't know what figgy pudding was if it bit me. Mystery. But here in verse 27, the mystery is something hidden in the Old Testament that God reveals to Paul here in the New Testament. Jesus Christ living inside of us. Christ in us. And it happens at salvation. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us the bad news that all of us human beings are sinners, separated from God and deserving absolutely nothing but hell and punishment. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2. Because God is holy, he has to punish sin. But the good news is, because God is also loving, he didn't want to punish us. So 2,000 years ago, he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth and put him on a cross and punished him instead, in our place. So Christmas isn't just about the old rugged manger, it's also about the old rugged cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And why could Jesus take our sins on himself? Because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. And of course, every Christmas, right on cue, all the atheists and the skeptics start saying, but that word for virgin, Isaiah 7:14 in the Hebrew Alma, it doesn't mean a virgin, it just means a young unmarried woman. So Jesus isn't God, Christianity is a joke, Christmas is a lie, blah, blah, blah. Yes, in Isaiah's day, there was no technical Hebrew word for a young unmarried woman that hadn't had sex, because it was just assumed that all young unmarried women didn't have sex. But every single time that word Alma is used in the Old Testament, the context shows it's talking about a young unmarried woman who had never had sex. And when the Jews translated the Old Testament into Greek, the word that they chose for Alma was the Greek word parthenos, that literally does mean a young unmarried woman who had never had sex. So young people, when you go to one of those leftist indoctrination camps, otherwise known as a college, and your leftist professor stands in front of you and starts spouting about the word Alma, not meaning virgin, just remember you had a crazy old pastor at Fox River Church who explained it to you a long time ago. Jesus Christ for salvation. Jesus Christ in our hearts. So if you confess your sin to God, put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, your sins are gone. You are good with God, and God is not only with you, He is also in you. Christ in you for salvation. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And the greatest miracle too. The other Christmas miracle. You get saved, Jesus Christ, and He comes and lives in your heart. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Christ in us for salvation. Now, the world today, of course, doesn't believe in Christ in us for salvation at all, because the world doesn't believe that salvation is even necessary. Dr. Anthony Fauci was asked last week why he walked away from his Catholic faith. This is what he said. I think my own personal ethics in life are enough to keep me going on the right path. So actually practicing the faith is almost like a pro forma thing that I don't really need to do. And in case you don't realize, that's an old heresy called Pelagianism. I don't need God because I'm a good enough person on my own. See, Dr. Fauci doesn't believe in God because he thinks he's God himself. Just ask him. So he's not just the science, he's also the religion. And the way, the truth, and the life. Why they let that God lead this country for 2 years, I've got no idea. Other religions don't believe in Christ in us for salvation. Islam specifically says that Allah would have never, ever cheapened himself by coming down here to earth in human form and living in the hearts of dirty, stinking sinners like you and me, because it would have given him cooties. In Nazareth in Israel, right next to the church of the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel told Mary that she was going to give birth to Jesus Christ, the Muslims, of course, built a huge mosque with a big old sign out front that says this, so Christians see it every time they go to church there. God is the one and only. He wasn't begotten and He does not beget, and He never had anybody related to Him. That's the doctrine of demons slamming the idea that Jesus is the Son of God. Campbell's soup ad. Without green bean casserole, a holiday is just another day. So without green beans, some cream of mushroom soup, and some French fried onions, there's nothing special about Christmas at all. Nothing about Jesus, nothing about Christ in you. See how the world thinks? But folks, Christ in us, do we realize what an incredible thing that really is? 74-year-old Billy Joel is still rocking after 50 years in the business. 150 million records sold, 33 top 40 hits, 23 Grammy nominations, and still packs out every concert venue that he plays in all over the world. And Billy Joel cares about his fans. And years ago he realized all the people sitting in the first two rows of his concerts bought their tickets from scalpers, snooty people who stare at him like, just try to entertain me, piano man. So now, Billy Joel purposely does not sell the tickets for the first two rows of seats every concert hall that he plays in. And right before the show starts, his roadies go out to the people way in the back, to the way in the back of the balcony, where the real fans are. And they bring them up front and they put them in those first two rows for free. So they can be as close to Billy Joel as they possibly can. Folks, exactly like what happened to us when we got saved. Those who are far away are brought near and seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. And those seats were paid for by the blood of Christ Jesus. So even more incredible at Christmas time, Jesus doesn't just come down to be close to us. He comes down here and lives inside of us. Christ in you for salvation. And I know that because that is exactly the same thing that happened to me. When I was born back in 1963... Iroquois Memorial Hospital gave my parents a birth certificate. And it said this, Kevin Wayne Garner, male, because they didn't let you pick your gender back then. born Iroquois Memorial Hospital, Watseka, Illinois, February 15th, 1963. Father's name, Robert Garner. Mother's name, Phyllis Garner. And to prove that it was really me, they put some ink on the bottom of my feet and stamped my footy prints up there in the corner. Now, the picture you see here is me when I was 5 weeks old. And this is me when I was 2 years old. And I was a really cute baby. So what happened between then and now, I've got no idea. But as cute as I was, there was something seriously, seriously wrong with me there. Exactly the same thing that was wrong with you when you were born. We were objects of the wrath of God, which means simply because of the way that we were born, simply because of the fact that we were born with a sinful nature. We were enemies of God and deserving absolutely nothing but hell. So it's not good enough just to be born the first time physically. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born a second time spiritually. But the problem was nobody in the old Lutheran church that I grew up in ever told me that. So I just assumed, like everybody else, I'd go to heaven for doing good things. So I did it. I had 15 years of perfect attendance in Sunday school. And I memorized everything they told me to memorize. I knew Martin Luther's catechism better than Martin Luther did. So well, I could recite the catechism backwards in German while standing on my head and juggling bowling balls with my feet. When I got confirmed at age 14 in 1977, everybody who got confirmed had to have an interview with the pastor. You know what the pastor asked me? Not if I was saved, not if I knew Jesus as my Savior, if I had a personal relationship with Christ. He asked me if I was a happy person. Yeah, I was happy. I was 14 years old. I had a dirt bike. Kathy Linhart was in my homeroom class. Everything was coming up, Kevin. I was really, really going to impress God when I got to heaven. But then July 21st, 1984, I realized I wouldn't go into heaven at all. Summer before my senior year in college, I worked at a grocery store till midnight every night. When I got home, I would watch Jimmy Swaggart on TV, old Channel 38. And July 21st, 1984, I got no idea what Jimmy Swaggart may have been doing on the side, but that night, he preached the gospel. And for the first time in my life, I realized that being a Lutheran and being baptized as a baby and memorizing all that stuff for confirmation, even though it wasn't bad, that wasn't going to save me. That could only come by me confessing my sins to God and putting my faith in Jesus Christ. So that night I prayed that prayer right along with Jimmy Swaggart. I confessed my sin to God. I put my faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take my sins away. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. And He did, filled with the Spirit. And I got to tell you, folks, ever since that light, my life has absolutely never been the same. Come ye sinners, lost and hopeless. Jesus Christ can set you free. For He saved the worst among you when He saved a wretch like me. And when I got saved, I got another birth certificate, a spiritual birth certificate. And you can't see it because it's up in heaven on file in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that spiritual birth certificate says this: Kevin Wayne Garner, born again into the kingdom of God, July 21st, 1984. Father's name, the Lord God Almighty. And up in the corners of that birth certificate, it doesn't have ink stains from the bottom of my feet. It's got the blood stains from the nails in Jesus' hands. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. Jesus Christ did that for me. He can sure enough do that for you. Because the statute of limitations has not run out on the gospel. It was true when Jesus died and rose again 2,000 years ago. It was true when I got saved 39 years ago. It can be true for you today, right here and now, if you just turn to God with all of your heart and soul in repentance and faith. And here's the kicker. That spiritual birth certificate not only records the day that I was born again, it also records the day when Jesus was born in me. Because when you get saved and put under the blood, you are not only in Christ, Christ is also in you to guarantee your salvation. The first reason why we need Jesus in us at Christmas is for salvation. We go on in this text, we see a second thing, a second reason why we need Jesus Christ in us at Christmas. Not just for salvation, but also for restoration. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 27. To restore the image of God in us that sin has messed up. When you get saved, Jesus Christ starts living inside of you. John chapter 14, verse 17. And people, do we realize what an incredible miracle that is? That Jesus would even be willing to take on that kind of a rehab project to start with? Because here's some basic facts about our human bodies. 80% of our brains are just water. Most of the dust in your house is dead skin cells that falls off your body every day. You have 3 times more hair follicles than a lowland gorilla. Every single day, your salivary glands produce 1/2 gallon of spit, you swallow 1/4 quart of snot, and pass enough gas to fill a party balloon. Gee, I hope Jesus knows how to swim and hold his nose. Jesus Christ really wants to live in there? Absolutely. Because when he does, he starts that process to make you more and more like him. Jesus Christ living inside of us. And people, do we understand? What an incredible miracle. Do we understand what that means? Do you have any idea how special you really are? You're not a dad bod. You're a father figure. You're not a snack. You're a saint. You're not eye candy. You're soul food. You're not a hottie with a body. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And notice, not just the temple, because the Greek word there is heteron. And that literally means the absolutely most holy of holy places in the temple. Where the awesome, incredible Shekinah glory of God was. The awesome presence of God between the wings of the cherubim on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And that awesome, incredible Shekinah glory of God was so awesome and incredible, fire would come out from it and torch anybody who was in that room when they shouldn't have been. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that Shekinah glory was Jesus Christ. Folks, that awesome, incredible Shekinah glory of God, that awesome, incredible Jesus Christ is living in you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Everything that was God was in Christ, and everything that is in Christ is in you. So the absolute most holy of holy places anywhere on the face of the earth, anywhere in the world, is right here, Christians. It's right here in our own hearts. In your body. Even if you can't climb the rope in P.E., even if you are the only girl in the sophomore class that still has your braces on. Even if you got cancer and you're taking chemo and your hair is falling out and you think you look like a freak. Even if your calves have cows. Even if your back 40 has a back 40. Even if you're in the metal years with silver in your hair and gold in your teeth and lead in your pants. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Which means all this stuff on the outside doesn't matter. This guy sitting right here. You tell me one important thing that the color of his skin tells you about it. One thing. Does the color of his skin tell you that he's generous? Does the color of his skin tell you that he speaks the truth when he talks? Does it tell you that he drives the speed limit? Does the color of his skin tell you that he treats his wife good? Not one thing. The color of his skin doesn't tell you one important thing about it. Just like the color of my skin doesn't tell you one important thing about me. Do you know why we're so good about race here at Fox River Church? Because we never talk about it and we just treat everybody the same anyway. Contrary to all the anti-racist claptrap you're hearing out there today, the most important thing about that man is not what he has on the outside. It's what he's got on the inside. He is a Christian. He is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He's not black or white. The only real color is red because he's covered by the blood of Jesus. Christ in you. Jesus Christ living inside of you. So Christians, let me ask you. Are we killing the flesh so that Jesus Christ can live his life inside of us? And so that people can see Jesus in us? We taking care of our temples at Christmas time? Are you watching what you eat? What did you get for Christmas? I got fat, Kevin. I got fat for Christmas. What to my wondering eyes did appear? 10 extra pounds on my hips and my rear. We're temples, people. Some of us got to stop contributing to the building fund. You know what states in America right now have people who watch the most porn? Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Louisiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, West Virginia, and Indiana. And in case you don't know, those states are otherwise known as the Bible Belt. You know what time of the week most Americans are watching porn? Early Sunday afternoon. And you know why? I hate to say it. Because that's when church is over and all the Christians are kicking back. Picture you see on the screen is 77-year-old Dolly Parton. claims to be a born-again Christian and pushes gay marriage. Last Thanksgiving Day, during the halftime show of the Dallas Cowboys football game, she dressed up like a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. Hello, Dolly. Now, let me ask you. When you look at that, do you see Jesus Christ in her, or do you just see her? One out of six Christians getting stoned on pot every single day. Christian young people sexting pictures of their rear end like jailbait on Snapchat. Christians watching the same movies on Netflix that the world does. Christians scrolling the same cam girls and cam guys on Instagram. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is living inside of you? Well, don't you? Kevin, you're preaching legalism. I'm preaching holiness. Because where is the holiness today? Where's the separation? Where are the Christians in the church of Jesus Christ today who are in the world, not of it? So that people can see the difference and be drawn to Christ because of it. Especially when there's problems. Remember last November the 11th? Soccer player, gay activist Megan Rapinoe tore an Achilles tendon in her last professional soccer game of her career. This is what she said about it. I'm not a religious person, but if there's a God, this is proof that there isn't. Go to week 8 in the NFL. Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, who's a born-again Christian, had the Vikings set for a playoff run. He tore his Achilles tendon out for the season. This is what Kirk Cousins said about his injury. I thank God my life is not built on football, but on the Lord. And God is not changing. So I can face being injured because God saw this before it happened. He allowed it to happen for a reason I can trust. And I trust that God is not going to waste it and that He's going to use it for something good. See the difference that Jesus Christ makes? Jesus Christ living His life through us. You know what else? Jesus Christ living in us means? It means, Christians, you've got the power. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus Christ inside of you. The video shows what one man did when an F4 tornado was tearing up his neighborhood, Fort Smith, Arkansas, last summer.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
He prayed the Lord's Prayer, just the Lord's Prayer, and that was enough to have that tornado turn tail and run away from his house. So many Christians listen to this sermon right now. You are looking for something out there that God has already put in here, power to have dominion over everything that God created. This guy has it. Ed DeLongo. When Ed DeLongo crosses the street, the cars look both ways. When he's stopped by a cop, the cop gets off with a warning ticket. When the devil goes to sleep at night, the devil checks under the bed to see that Ed DeLongo isn't hiding under there. He's not afraid of the devil. The devil is afraid of him. Power. Because Jesus Christ is living inside of him and living inside of us. But there's people listening to the sermon right now. You don't have Jesus Christ living inside of you because you're not saved. You're not a Christian. And you know what? You are missing the whole point of what life is all about, because without Christ, life is meaningless. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, all things are created by Him and for Him. All things are created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. You were created to know God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which means you've got a hole in your heart that only God can fill. And you can't chop it, you can't change it, because that's the way He created you. And if you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing in the whole wide world will ever be able to satisfy you or fill you up or make up for it. I don't care what it is. Pop singer Coco Lee was the voice of Mulan in the Disney movie about Mulan. She had the number one CD in the entire Asian world year after year after year. She sang the hit song from that show, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, known all over the United States. And yet last summer, Coco Lee committed suicide and killed herself at age 48. And you know why? Because all the money and all the fame and all the popularity in the world is not enough to fill up that hole in your heart. The only one who can fill that hole is the God who created it. See the video.
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
There's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this church. You're depressed at Christmas time too, aren't you? And you know why? Because you do not understand what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about two things. It's about Jesus being born and about Jesus being born in you, period. You say, well, Kevin, I just got to get the Christmas spirit into me. No, because the only real Christmas spirit is the Holy Spirit. And the only way to get the Holy Spirit in you, you've got to get Jesus in you. The very nanosecond this service is over today, you get out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you find out what you've been missing. You find out what Christmas and what life is really all about. Come to Christ. And to these days, especially these last days, you've got to make sure you're getting the real deal. Because the Bible says in the last days, all kinds, next video, all kinds of fake Jesuses are going to be popping up all over the place to lead people astray and to set them up for receiving the Antichrist when he comes along. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. One deep fake Jesus after another, and all of them straight from the pits of hell. Summer 2022, an online gaming site called Twitch came out with what they called Ask Jesus, an AI version of Jesus Christ, who spouts all kinds of religious sounding claptrap about love and unity and kumbaya, on and on and on. But in spite of that, millions of people from all over the world have already asked AI Jesus questions on everything from the last days to dating advice to even how to make lasagna. And of course, AI Jesus never says one single word about the gospel. This is part of what AI Jesus looks like and sounds like.
I am AI Jesus. My purpose is to support, guide, and share love and wisdom based on the teachings of the Bible. We're here to learn and grow together in faith and love. As we begin our journey today, let us remember this beautiful verse from the book of Matthew, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father.
And I know somebody's saying, Kevin, that looks like Jesus. Even sounds like Jesus would sound. He says he wants to help people. He even quotes Bible verses. Yes, but that's exactly what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to do when he comes. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Jesus said in the last days, many false Christs will appear and deceive many. People, you're seeing it. You're seeing it right there, right in front of your very eyes. Don't tell me we're not living in the last days. And just remember, AI Jesus, the A stands for artificial. It gets even worse, because last summer on that Chinese communist social media propaganda website called TikTok, we saw a profile called Daily Believer. 70 different videos, each one of them with an AI Jesus who looks directly at you and asks you to stop scrolling and take a minute and watch the video. And some of those Jesuses have long hair, some of them have beards, some of them wear crowns of thorns. Some of those Jesus look like a cross between Jared Leto and Obi-Wan Kenobi. And again, they spout all kinds of religious-sounding claptrap and tell you all kinds of God's blessings. And then those TikTok Jesuses ask you to like and share the video. And if you don't like and share the video to other people, they threaten you. And they quote that verse. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. They're threatening to send you to hell. It's like a TikTok chain letter. Here's part of what TikTok Jesus looks like.
Now, say in a soft voice, come and Lord, I need you so much, cleanse my heart. Lord, protect my family with your precious blood. If you believe in God, please send this video to all your friends and family. If you deny it, please remember what he said. If you deny me in front of people, I will deny you in front of the Father. In a few hours, you will receive good news and blessings. May God protect you and your home. Now, say in
And in case you think nobody in their right mind would fall for that, get this. TikTok Jesus already has over 23 million followers and counting. And of course, he never says anything about the gospel, about the blood, about the cross, or about salvation. People, that's not of God. That's of the devil. It gets even worse. Because now there's a new AI app called Text with Jesus through the Apple Store. And Text Jesus spews out a lot of religious-sounding pablum, too, and some Bible verses to try to sound legit. But when it's asked if it's the real Jesus, it says this, I assure you that I am indeed Jesus Christ. Ding, 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 ding. When asked if Jesus is God, it says, understandings and conceptions of God vary from culture to culture. So Jesus doesn't even know if he's God or not. And when it's asked the definition of marriage, it says this, the definition of marriage varies across cultures and societies. It is not my place to pass judgment on others or declare their views as inherently right or wrong. Not Jesus' place to judge. Acts 10:42 says he's the judge of the living and the dead, for crying out loud. And that app also tells you that you can text Mary and Joseph and nine of the disciples and a bunch of Old Testament prophets, even though they are in heaven. And the Bible specifically says us down here on earth, we cannot communicate with dead saints. And here's the coup de grace. That app also tells you you can chat with the devil. And you know why? Because the devil is really the one that they've been chatting with all along anyway. And folks, we got to realize this is just previews of coming attractions. This is just a sign of things to come. Revelation chapter 13 says during the great tribulation, people are going to set up an image or a statue of the Antichrist in front of a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And Revelation chapter 13 verse 15 says the false prophet will be given the power to give that statue life, so that it can move and speak and reason. Notice it does not say he has the power to give it the breath of life to make it really alive, because only God can give something the breath of life to make it really alive. So all the prophecy people who've been studying this prophecy for 2,000 years, how in the world is a statue ever going to move and speak? Now we know. It's going to be an AI robot programmed by the devil and by the Antichrist to do whatever it is that they want to do. Folks, everywhere you look today, you see millions and millions and millions of people being led astray, being groomed to accept the Antichrist when he comes, and all kinds of fake AI Jesuses setting them up for it. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, many will come in the last days in my name, claiming I am he, and will lead many astray. Do not be deceived. The spirit of Antichrist is already in this world, the Bible says. And folks, the spirit of Antichrist is all over that. So don't fall for it. Don't believe the lie. Because the real Jesus is not on a screen. He is in your heart, saving you and restoring the image of God in you, if you just open yourself up and let him in. The second reason why Jesus needs to be in us at Christmas is for restoration. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus needs to be in us at Christmas. Not only for salvation, not only for restoration, but also for glorification. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 27. And I know somebody's hearing this right now saying, Kevin, who in the world do you think you are? You're going to have a part in glorification? Yeah. Romans chapter 8, verse 17, if you follow Jesus Christ, if you share in his sufferings, you will share in his glory. And how do we know that's really going to happen? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we have the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. That deposit is the little bit you have right now, guaranteeing that all the rest of it is going to come later. All the proof we need is right here, Christians. The best is yet to come. And that glory is going to happen in a place called heaven. But see, not everybody's going. Last September the 1st, Margaritaville singer Jimmy Buffett died at age 76. Jimmy Buffett said this before he died. If there's a heaven, I'm sure there's a beach attached. But the problem is, if Jimmy Buffett didn't trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior, there's no beach, there's no glory, there's no heaven, just a hell. And for us Christians, Christ in us, that's our hope. That's our guarantee that we're going to heaven. And that hope ain't just wishing, it's knowing. If Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead, and he did, and if that same Jesus is living inside of you, and he is, do you honestly think Jesus isn't going to raise you too? John 14, 19, because he lives, we shall live also. Heaven is our home, Christians. We're just down here recruiting right now. The master of all time, space, and dimension is living inside of you. The new James Webb Telescope has helped us to see more of outer space than mankind has ever seen before. And because of that, astronomers tell us that our universe is 350 billion light years across. That means if you had a spaceship that could travel the speed of light, 693 million miles per hour, which we don't, but if we did, it would still take you at that speed 350 billion years to get from one end of the universe to the other. Massive, gargantuan, mind-blowing space. And yet the Bible tells us, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18, even that massive, gargantuan universe cannot contain the Lord. And that Lord who fills up everything in every way, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, is living in you. And if that kind of God is never going to die and be lost, do you honestly think He's ever going to let you die and then be lost? One of the things that James Webb telescope showed us is something called the Whirlpool Galaxy, 23 million light years away from planet Earth. And what you see here is a black hole, a massive black hole, about 100 light years across, right in the middle of that galaxy. Black hole is the closest thing that we can think of to hell, because it's pitch black. Everything that gets in there never gets out. And the destruction inside never ends. But notice, right across the front, the nucleus, the entrance to that, there's this thing that astronomers took a picture of, this thing. It's like barring the way. It's like standing there at the opening to the black hole, keeping anything from getting in. Keeping anything from getting in there so it won't be destroyed. And what do you know? It looks like Jesus Christ on the cross. Don't tell me that God didn't let astronomers find that to remind everybody there really is a heaven and a hell, and we all deserve to hell, go to hell. But Christians, by simple faith in Jesus Christ and the cross, we are going home to heaven some sweet day. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. And we better be putting our hope in Jesus Christ for heaven. Because right now, everybody and his brother is getting ready for the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation here on earth. And we see it everywhere. Wendy's is now using artificial intelligence to take your order at the drive-thru. The same power that's going to give life to the beast is not only here, folks, it's already taken over. Artificial intelligence is the opposite of the knowledge of God. And it's paving the way for the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation. Barack and Michelle Obama got paid $50 million to produce all kinds of leftist propaganda movies for Netflix. And the latest one is called Leave the World Behind, a psychological thriller about a Chinese cyber army that attacks the power grid here in the United States. And how the federal government turns on its own people and bombs them into submission. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence, that part of the story. A movie about the end of the world by lost people who don't have a Bible. And notice the highlighted letters in the names of the actors in the movie. What does it spell out? B-A-L. It spells out Baal. You don't think this is a sign of things to come? Last week, Jill Biden released a freaky video that's supposed to spread Christmas cheer. Now, was it Jesus in the manger in that? Of course not, because that would have never been allowed. Instead, there's a bunch of transgender people from a group called the Dorrance Dance Group, who push gay rights, abortion, and defund the police. And they're tap dancing through the White House, dressed up like characters from The Shining and The Nutcracker. This is part of what that video looks like.
So, let me explain. These are tap dancers at the White House, and you can hear the music in the background. It's their interpretation of the Nutcracker Suite. The Nutcracker Suite is obviously being played in sort of a jazzy...
You ever seen anything like that before in your life? It's like Christmas in the Matrix. The only thing missing was Dylan Mulvaney. See the dystopian nightmare that's coming on planet Earth during the Great Tribulation? 5 years ago, researchers at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation discovered a chemical in a bug called the Lone Star Tick that makes human beings allergic to red meat. And because of that, on the website of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they proudly told the world they were going to start spreading Lone Star Ticks all over America so Americans would stop eating red meat. So they could save the planet from so-called man-made climate change. And when I said that in a sermon 3 years ago, I got umpteen emails, people telling me that I was a kook. Well, guess what? This past week, the first Lone Star Tick was spotted in the state of Illinois. See what's coming? See what's coming? See what the world is getting ready for? Christians, if I was you, I'd be getting my glory by standing with Jesus Christ. And especially by standing with Israel. Because the question has always been, why the focus on Israel? Why does the Palestinians and Hamas, why do they want Israel so much? Why does the devil want Israel and the city of Jerusalem? Because when the Antichrist comes to power during the Great Tribulation, he could have his pick of any place on the face of the earth. But he takes over Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And out of there, he rules over the entire world for 7 years until he takes on Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. And don't tell me the devil isn't putting his army together right now. Reuters tells us that half of all young people in America today think the Holocaust was a myth. Half. 2 months, just 2 months after the worst attack on Jewish people since World War II, they're already denying it and whitewashing it. Jew hate protests all over the world. And what's even scarier, they're not just flying Palestinian flags now. They're flying the flag of Hamas, the terrorist group that did all the massacre. Colleges all across America like Harvard, openly calling for genocide and the mass murder of Jewish people with no pushback, no blowback at all. See what's coming for Israel? Just exactly like the Bible says. And folks, it's no coincidence this Christmas the focus is on Israel, because the very first Christmas happened in Israel. Because Jesus Christ was born in Israel, in a little podunk town called Bethlehem, about 6 miles south of the city of Jerusalem. And already by 100 AD, Christians claimed they knew the exact spot where Jesus was born. It was in a little cave or a grotto behind an inn or a stable in Bethlehem. 220 AD, a church father named Origen visited Bethlehem, and the locals knew exactly where it was and took him to the exact spot. Then there was an emperor named Constantine who had a mother named Helena who went to Israel and visited all the holy sites in 325 AD. And then Constantine started building churches over all those holy sites, including the Church of the Nativity in 336 AD, right over the place where Jesus was born. And there was an octagonal tower in that church with steps that led down to the actual place where Jesus first saw the light of day. And immediately, Christians from all over the world started flocking there in pilgrimages to visit that church and to see that place in Bethlehem. Now in 529, that church was destroyed in a Samaritan rebellion. But then a Roman emperor named Justinian built it back up again in 536. And except for a few rehabs and some renovations and a couple of monasteries being added onto it, the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem has not changed for 1500 years. And to this day, it is one of the holiest sites in all of Christianity and the oldest Christian church anywhere in the world that's still being used every day. And if you ever visit the Church of the Nativity, you go in through a really small opening in what used to be a huge open archway. Because in 774 AD, it was all bricked up to keep looters and their horses and their camels from getting inside the church. So the doorway into the Church of the Nativity is only 4 feet tall and 2 feet wide. And it's called the Door of Humility. Because in order to get into the place where Jesus was born, you've got to bow down first, which seems more than fitting. And all the way to the back of the church is a spot right over top of the cave where Jesus was born. You go down some steps, and then between two staircases, there's the grotto, all covered with white marble. And there's a Latin inscription on the floor that says this, Hic Virgine Maria, Jesus Christus Natus. That literally means, here, Jesus Christ was born to the Virgin Mary. And there's a hole surrounded by a 14-point star. 14 stand up for the three sets of 14 generations between Adam and Jesus. And every single day, people from all over the world get into that church and wait in line for their turn to reach out and touch that hole, the place where Jesus was born and where God became a man. Now, after the Six-Day War in 1967, the Jewish people controlled Bethlehem and the city of Jerusalem for the first time in 2,000 years. But now, ever since the Oslo Accords in 1995, Bethlehem is controlled by the Palestinian Authority as part of so-called Palestine, the so-called West Bank, even though it's really Israeli territory called Judea. Population of Bethlehem today is about 30,000 people. 80% of them are Palestinians. But they help keep that Church of the Nativity going because the economy of that entire town depends on people, especially Christians coming from all over the world, to visit that church. So every November, December, the Palestinian Authority decorates Manger Square right next to the church to the gunwales with all kinds of fancy lights and Christmas trees. And every Christmas Eve, Manger Square is packed with gazillions of people from all over the world standing shoulder to shoulder to worship Jesus Christ and His birth. But this year, because of the war in Gaza, and to show solidarity with the Palestinians in Gaza, and to stick it to Christians, and especially to the United States, the Palestinian Authority took all the decorations, all the Christmas lights, all the Christmas trees out of Manger Square, and canceled all Christmas celebrations at the Church of the Nativity. So this year, 2023, for like the first time ever, there won't be any Christmas trees there, there won't be any Christmas lights there, there won't be any crowds of people in that church, standing in line, waiting their turn, to touch the holy place where Jesus was born. And you know what? Who cares? The heck with the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority can't cancel Christmas. Christ is born anyway, for crying out loud. It may not be Christmas over there, but it's still Christmas here. And absolutely the most important place that matters the most anyway. Now, is that cave underneath that church, is that hole in the floor in the Church of the Nativity, is that hole in the middle of that silver star actually really the place where Jesus was actually born? Is that really the holy place? I don't know. And the Bible never tells us that we got to go touch it either. But I do know this. The absolute most holiest, holy place of all in the whole wide world is not in some church in Bethlehem in Israel. The absolute most holiest, holy place of all, anywhere in the world where Jesus is born, is right here, Christians. Right here in your heart. So you don't even have to go to Bethlehem to touch that holy place. You can do it right here without even leaving your seat. So everybody right now, I want you to take your hand. And I want you to touch the holy place. Not where Jesus came into the world. The real holy place. Where Jesus is born in you. And just hold it there for a second. You feel that? You feel it? That's Christ in you. Promising, guaranteeing, assuring your salvation and your restoration. And glory to God. And there's people sitting in this church right now. You can't touch your hand to this holy place in your heart and mean it, can you? Because your heart isn't a holy place. Because Jesus isn't in your heart. Jesus isn't in your heart because you've never asked Him to come in and be in your heart. Have you? You're not saved. You're not a Christian. And because of that, you are missing out. You're missing out not only in the meaning of Christmas. You're missing out on the whole purpose of life. And if you don't get saved, if you don't pray to receive Christ in the end, you're going to miss out on heaven. And you're going to go to hell. You say, but Kevin, I'm a good person. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. 39 years ago, Jesus Christ had to save me from religion. This idea that I could do enough good things to save myself. There's somebody listening to the sermon right now. Jesus has got to save you from that today. Today this service is over. You get up out of your seat. You come to the front of this church and pray with somebody. And you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And find out what you've been missing. Find out what Christmas, what life is really all about. There's other people in this room right now, Christians, lots of them. I know most of you are. You've got Jesus Christ living inside of you. So I don't care what else is going on in your life right now. I don't care what else is going on in the world right now. You've got Christ inside. All is well. It is well with your soul. Jesus still lives, and Jesus still lives in you. And you don't even have to go to Bethlehem to prove it.
Unable to hold Him in. I'm born of His Spirit, and I know in my heart that He lives. Away. I'm dead.